If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We are at the tail end of our 1 John book study. We'll actually be finished with it by the end of this month. And so we're in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. It is also on the screen behind me. God's word says this: Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you can't tell already, what those six passages are talking about is the importance of worldviews, how one views the world around them. The whole purpose of this point, of this passage, is that through a relationship with Christ in one lens and the Bible in the other, the convictions that both of those together, that shapes and influences, listen up, church, how you view the world. That is what we call a worldview. Listen, I absolutely love this topic. It is so important. I was asked to teach Bible at my kids' school, and I was hesitant at first until they told me they wanted to start an apologetics worldview class, the Bible class, for juniors and seniors in high school. And then, listen, I jumped right on it because I knew how important this subject is, not only for that season of life, but church, for each and every Christian at every age and every season of life. First off, what is a worldview? This word comes from a translation of the German word Weltanschauung. Weltanschauung, okay? You can say that with me. Say Weltanschauung. Good job. I have no idea if we're saying it correctly, but it looks like it's spelled that way, which means a way of looking at the world. Welt means world and Schauung means to look. And so as that word suggests itself, a worldview is an overall view of the world. It's not a physical or just a physical view of the world, but rather a philosophical view, an all-encompassing perspective on everything that exists. And listen, everything that matters to us. And listen, every single person has a worldview. Every person has one. A Chinese proverb says, if you want to know what water is, don't ask the fish. Why? Because water is the sum and substance of the world in which the fish is immersed. The fish may not reflect on its own environment until suddenly it's thrust onto dry land where it'll probably struggle for life. And then it realizes, water was my substance, was my reality. Now listen, we are immersed in our own environments, in our own worldviews, and if I can be honest, we have failed to take seriously the ramifications of how that's lived out and how it may differ from other world views. If you really think about it, most problems and issues are worldview issues. Christians everywhere recognize there is a great spiritual battle raging for the hearts and minds in others. People all around the globe, we find ourselves in this cosmic struggle between Christian truth and a morally indifferent culture and world. And so we need to know a lot about this topic and other differing worldviews around us. We must ask those hard questions. Do you know why you believe what you believe? Why you do what you do? Why you think what you think? And listen, even if you differ, if you're coming in here and you're visiting today, or maybe you've just been visiting for a little bit, and if you differ, listen, this is a safe place to differ. We are not going to force you into believing or thinking anything. In fact, we can't. God is the one that does that and shapes that. But everyone of every faith really needs to spend more time analyzing why they look at the world the way that they do. So Christians, verse 1, it says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." First thing we need to know as Christians is this, we are to test other worldviews against God's worldview. We are to test other worldviews against God's worldview. It says, test the spirits. That's sort of like during the whole gold rush era and time, like testing gold. Back in that era, they'd bite it, they'd scratch it to see if it was genuine, or you probably heard this, fool's gold. And just as that was true during that time, just because something glitters doesn't mean it's good. We must test the worldviews around us in comparison to what God has to say about that, according to Scripture. And listen, when confronted with various doctrines and religious teachings, all of which will claim to be true, Christians must be able to tell those that are biblically sound and from those that are not. A person's worldview, remember, remembers their most fundamental beliefs and assumptions about the universe that they inhabit. It reflects how one would answer all the big questions of human existence, fundamental questions about who we are, where we came from, why we're here, where, if anywhere, we're headed, the meaning and purpose of life, the nature of the afterlife, if they even believe in an afterlife, and what counts as a good life here. Few people think through these issues, and fewer still have firm answers to such questions. But a person's worldview will at least incline one towards certain kinds of answers and maybe even away from others. Worldviews shape and inform our experiences about the world around us. Just like those 3D VR goggles shaped what Crystal saw, they affect what we see and how we see it. And depending on the lens, on the lenses, some things may be seen more easily, or they may be de-emphasized or distorted. And some things may not even be seen at all. But the best way to understand one's culture, how they view life, is to grasp the underlying worldview being expressed. Remember, worldviews also largely determine people's opinions on matters of ethics, on politics, what a person thinks about issues of today like abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, environmental ethics, economic policy, public education, all those top political things. That comes out in a worldview. Speaking of those cultural things, David Dockery wrote a book, The Importance of Christian Worldview. And he said there are six particular applications where a Christian worldview can provide a difference in perspective. These are top cultural issues of today where people can differ because of their conflicting worldviews. And listen, as Christians, we can differ. Here's the six. One, in technology. Remember, technology can either be an instrument through which we fulfill our roles as God's stewards, or it can be an object of worship that will eventually rule us. He said this, "A Christian worldview provides balance and insight for understanding that crucial aspect of 21st century life." A Christian will view that differently. When it comes to sexuality, marriage, and family, of course, sexuality has become a major topic of difference in today's culture. There is so much confusion that exists among Christians and especially non-Christians on this one topic. And of course, as Christians, we do believe that sexuality is good in the covenant relationship of mutual self-giving marriage. We believe in a marriage that is instituted by God who created that as a gift. And family, what he has to say about that. When it comes to politics, what Christians believe about the public square, certain issues and values is determined by Scripture instead of culture and political parties. This affects society as we know it and how we share the gospel and the freedom to be able to do that and the church and a witness to a watching world. People don't just make that up. They may have preferences, but as Christians, we should be shaped by what the Bible has to say. When it comes to the arts and recreation, those are important parts of human creativity and community. they express what it means to be created in the image of God. And we need to develop critical skills of analysis and evaluation so that we are informed, that we're intentional, that we are reflective about what we create, what we see, and what we do. When it comes to the science and faith, for almost two centuries, science has been at the forefront of our modern world. And we must explore how we see scientific issues from the vantage point of a Christian worldview. An understanding of God includes the knowledge we gain through scientific investigation. With the lens of faith in place, a picture of God's world will emerge that complements and harmonizes the finding of science and the teaching of Scripture. And then last of all, he said invocation. This is important for any culture to have a proper understanding of work. But listen, church, we believe, according to Christian worldview, that work is a gift from God to be pursued with excellence for the glory of God. Do everything you do for the glory of God. We recognize that we will be different when it comes to ethics in that field. We will be different as we look at it as a mission field, as provision. So how do we test every spirit, every worldview? Again, we measure it against a biblical worldview, which he talks about in verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 says this, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." First off, in verse 2, this is the beginning part of a biblical worldview. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." A biblical worldview starts with, one, what you believe about the Bible that is shaped by having Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life as the mediator between you and God, and therefore viewing all of life the way God views it. It starts with believing that Jesus was the Son of God, confessing him as that and receiving him in your heart and life. And therefore, you are changed. And then biblical beliefs on the following is so important within a biblical worldview. Do you know what the Bible has to say and what you believe about these six important areas? One, God and his attributes in the Trinity. Do you know what you believe about God, about his attributes, and God being three in one? God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. And we don't have time to break down each one of these for obvious reasons, but do you know what you believe and what the Scripture has to say and how that affects the way you view the world and other worldviews? Two, about creation. How we were created, why we were created, but then not only that, what went wrong? Three, the fall, original sin, and depravity. That's a personal, but then also the world. What is wrong with us, but what is wrong with the world? Do you know what you believe when it comes to what the Bible has to say, providing those answers? Four, how it's to be fixed, salvation and redemption. Do you know what you believe and what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ? God knowing, seeing that sin that separated his beloved people who were created in his image, and that those people are reconciled only by his Son coming down on earth, taking that sin upon himself, fulfilling all those prophecies made about that Messiah. That he died but then rose again, taking our sin, and that through repentance and faith, we are reconciled back to him. And then what the Bible has to say about the church. When we talk about the first few weeks of this series, that life-sharing community that God gifts to us, that although we will be imperfect and we will be messy, and at times we feel like we can hate each other, but we are brothers and sisters and forever family. And it's a gift within this world today, not only to have community like that, but to be sent united on mission. And then sixth and last of all, consummation and glorification. How is this all going to end? When Jesus comes back defeating sin, Satan, death once and for all, what you believe about that? The new heavens and the new earth combining. Do you know what you believe about this world based off what you believe with those areas right there? Because if you don't, or you don't believe in certain things according to what God's word has to say about those things, you may have, or at least you may study and know about others' unbiblical worldviews. Look what it says in verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. See, based off that first initial, what you believe about the gospel, about Jesus Christ and who he is, and having him in your heart and life and how it's changed you, that will end up producing unbiblical views of life. And so I'll just briefly share some of those worldviews. One would be naturalism, the belief that there is no God. Humans are just highly evolved animals, that the universe is a closed physical system. Most proclaimed atheists would say that they are naturalists. Two, postmodernism, that there is no objective truth or moral standards, that reality is ultimately just a human social construction. Three, pantheism, that God is the totality of all in reality. Thus, we're all just divine by nature and interconnected with each other, which again would go against what we believe about the fall and sin and every person having that. Pluralism, that different world religions represent equally valid perspectives on the ultimate reality, and that all those valid paths lead to salvation. That all religions are pretty much the same thing, and we're all going to be together partying with God at the end. First off, those religions don't even believe that. Second off, as Christians, according to the Bible in our lenses, we shouldn't believe that. And then this is one that you may have not heard of, but it's just as important to know and learn about. Moralistic therapeutic deism. How many of you guys have heard of that one? Moralistic therapeutic deism. This is actually one that has prepped and pretty much started with a lot of people that grew up in church. This is the belief that God just really wants us to be happy. He kind of created us, but then left us on our own, and he just wants us to be happy and nice to other people, and he'll intervene in our affairs when we call on him. Moralistic, that we're to be good. Therapeutic, that when we really need help, then we can call on him. But guess what? Outside when we need help, we can do whatever we kind of want. And you notice some people that grew up in church really maybe don't have a relationship with Christ, but they say all the Christianese terms. This is their worldview. I'll call on him when he needs me, but when it comes to all this other stuff, I'll just live the way I want to live, not the way God has guided, commanded, showed how I need to live. And then deism. I just believe that he's there somewhere. And then, of course, any false religion, any religion that does not believe in the gospel as our salvation, what the Bible has to say, from everything of Buddhism and Hinduism to Islam. All of those things, they're false religions. They are, according to that passage, worldviews that are Antichrist. And remember, when we talked about Antichrist, that is not that one end times leader that will raise up according to these passages. That is anything. That's a strong word, but that is anything that doesn't just go against Christ. They don't have to be completely antagonistic toward the gospel, but they do supplant or replace Christ. And listen, that's just as dangerous because it's subtle. And then it goes on and says, verse 4, but little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Christians, this is where it's important to know and believe that just like how we view these glasses help me view you because I'm blind without them. Usually wear contacts. But both of these and those 3D goggles that come together to one picture. One, when it comes to God inside of you, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Christ into your heart and life and you are saved but then regenerated, you have new desires, a new view on life. One, that picture over here mixed with the Bible. Mixed with maybe God used the Bible for you to believe in Christ, like for me. Maybe you didn't know much about the Bible and you heard the gospel and you received Christ, but now it's the Bible that's guiding you. It's convicting you. It's God revealing himself, speaking to you. It is now how you have values and convictions in life through God inside of you and the Bible is how we view the world. And listen, God inside of you and the word that he has given you, according to this passage, is greater than what we see or what the world has to offer. Listen, church, this is important to hear as you learn about this. We don't have to be afraid of other worldviews. Do you understand that? The more you grow with God inside of you and depend, trust on the scriptures, you don't have to be afraid of everything that's out in the world and the different worldviews that are being betrayed. Why? Because truth is greater than the world's lies. Remember how I told you that I teach a high school worldviews Bible class at my kids' Christian homeschool co-op? Listen, I'll tell you what, there is really nothing funner than teaching a bunch of overprotected, sheltered homeschool, high school kids about differing worldviews, okay? I'm talking about, I'll come in there, teach on a certain subject, and they'll all be like, did he just say the F word? Yes, I just said fossils. Are you not allowed to say fossils here? No, because that has to do with evolution. And you can't teach about evolution in a Christian homeschool co-op school. Now, they aren't that extreme. But listen, do you know how many people out there, and by the way, you're like, are you making fun of homeschool kids? Yes, my kids are homeschool kids, okay? So I can be able to make fun of them, all right? But honestly, if you think about it, you know how many people are extreme? Like, you cannot learn, you cannot know, you cannot teach about differing worldviews. Listen, we should know about the differing worldviews out there. Not only should we know about those worldviews, we need to speak truth into what could be deceptive and the lies of those differing worldviews. Why? Because we have a God that is greater than what people are being deceived by. Church, do you understand? Do you believe that? Do you know that? And do you view the world around you like that? This is exactly why we don't have to be scared of learning of other worldviews, of religions, asking and answering those tough questions, because we have the truth. And listen, church, truth trumps lies. And ultimately, Christ has overcome whatever Satan has used or created to deceive or supplant a king who cannot be overthrown. We need to understand not only what it means to have a biblical worldview, but also why we should hold fast to that worldview and apply it to all of life. To identify the major non-Christian worldviews that have dominance in our society. To understand why they fundamentally differ. And to make a well-reasoned case of why the biblical worldview alone is true, is good, and is beautiful. And listen, God helps you with this. Because look at verse 5 and 6. God's word and God inside you gives you biblical convictions. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. This is why we differ in worldviews, because they're going to listen to the world. Verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God, that's God inside of you, listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Listen, church, that's convictions. And yes, God does work on people, draws them in to truth and to that relationship and to that worldview, which is the reason why he placed people on this earth. But listen, until that happens, there is going to be a difference. And we are led in our differences by our convictions. A worldview meshes God's word with the Holy Spirit, God inside of us, with those personal convictions. And remember, the biblical worldview is the only true worldview. Francis Schaeffer, I've mentioned him a few times before, but in the 60s, 70s, has written The God Who Is There is one of the best apologetics worldviews books out there. But he actually created this Christian community, I think it was in Switzerland, where he had believers and unbelievers just come live in what a Christian community could look like, but also share the gospel with them and answer those tough questions within them. And one quote that he has from the God Who Is There is this: Christianity is not merely religious truth. That's what people think, oh, it's true for religious people. No, it is total truth. Truth about the whole of reality. It is total truth, church. And so that is why those six different areas that David Dockery said is some of the top cultural different things in this world that we may differ in worldview. That's why when it comes to technology, if you were here for my New Year's Eve message, that was kind of a standalone. Every campus and pastor can preach on whatever you want to preach on and asking to do kind of something when it comes to disciplines. And before just telling you, keep on praying, keep on reading the Bible like every year, I said that a lot of us need to take something away so that we can actually discipline ourselves in that. And so remember, we talked about technology, about moderation and Sabbath from technology. And listen, you know anything about me? You follow me on any of those things? You know I'm the exact opposite of that. I would dive right in and be immersed, not think twice about any of it. But why don't I? And why do I have to discipline myself in that way? Because of Christian worldview. Because of what God has to say about idolatry, about Sabbath. And that's why we look differently and think differently and live life differently in that area. When it comes to sexuality, marriage, and family, on the topic of family, I was thinking about our children director, Kim, with this. Listen, she was in my office two times this week, kind of broke down in tears two separate times thinking about our families, our kids, and just burdened. And listen, why is she in that position? Because of her worldview about what God has to say about family. About ones that may be on the outside looking like they're dysfunctional or broken and what God can do to redeem it. And the way, as parents, we can raise up our kids and God will use us in discipleship. Why are we different in that area? Because that's how we are on our own? No, that's the world. It's because of what we believe about God's word and God inside of us. When it comes to politics, it's why you have Christians on both sides. One who will say, like, I can't maybe believe and agree with this area when it comes to abortion. Or I can't believe or agree and support this candidate because of their views on marriage and that covenant, the treatment of women. Why do people have certain strong opinions and beliefs? Because it's their personal preference? I hope not. I hope and pray that that is guided by what Scripture has to say on such topics. That it becomes a conviction that you have to stand up for, not you yourself. It is convictions from what God has to say about those things. The arts and recreation. I know you guys make fun of me every single year when the Oscars come, right? I joke and say, do not follow me because I'm going to make those predictions. I watch that every single year. Why? For my entertainment? No, you could ask my wife. I don't watch anything with entertainment. She hates watching movies with me. I analyze every single worldview that's being communicated. And so I sit there and I watch that. And I say, the world resonates with this because it's biblical truth that they didn't even know they are portraying. Or others where this is deceptive and we need to speak truth into it. We look at it and view it differently. When it comes to science and faith, how we can never agree with those who may say miracles are not possible. We will always believe and stand up saying that what may be reasonable and rational in the world's eyes is possible because we have an impossible God. From the virgin birth of Jesus to the actual resurrection and what we'll be celebrating in a few weeks here. Why do we believe that? Because we do believe that the impossible God makes those things possible in this world and that he's still at work today. It's why in vocation that we shouldn't be looked upon or viewing our job as the worst job in the whole entire world, even if it's not according to our gifting. Because God has told us to do everything with excellence, the glory of him, and he has sent us there as missionaries. Our view of life, of all those cultural issues, should be different. And it becomes different when we look at those things with discernment. And that's what that last part in verse 6 says. These biblical convictions that come from a biblical worldview, it leads to discernment. Verse 6, part B, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is the importance of discernment, church. Do you have discernment? Because remember, our worldviews are the single greatest influence on the way we interpret our experiences and respond to those experiences. It's because the worldview that God gave you, the convictions that you have to discern what is true, what is a lie, what is right, what is wrong, what is love, what is hate, what is light, what is darkness. You have discernment of truth and lies, because that discernment leads to this. It is one of the most fruitful and effective ways to engage with non-Christian religions and ideologies, to think in the terms of the worldviews that they reflect. And so, for example, every philosophy, every ideology, they have to answer the same fundamental questions. One, when it comes to creation, how did it all begin? Where did we come from? Church, every ideology, every religion, every philosophy has to ask and answer, how did it begin? Where did we come from? Two, what we believe in the fall, everybody else has to still answer, what went wrong and what is the source of evil and suffering? What went wrong and what is the source of evil and suffering? Every one of my junior and seniors in that class has to interview a person of either a different religion or worldview asking these questions. And three, last of all, redemption. What can we do about it? How can the world be set right again? One of the most fruitful and effective ways to engage with people who do not know Christ, different religions and ideologies, to think of them in terms of the worldviews they reflect. And you will get that reflection by asking these questions. And listen, by applying these simple questions, we will not only be able to identify their worldviews, but also analyze where they could potentially have went wrong. And more importantly, we can answer them with truth and more fulfilling answers in the gospel. And after learning the biblical worldview, we will see how to engage with other religions, other people of different worldviews, by knowing what we believe and what they believe. And the most fruitful ways, the most fruitful way to share that message of hope. Albert Mohler, president of Southern Seminary, again, one who's known in this day and age for apologetics and differing worldviews, says the defense of the Christian faith is not for the lazy, it's not for the weak, it's for the brave. Church, out of this, I ask you to be brave. And you're not going to be able to study and know every single religion, worldview, and ideology out there, but what are the ones that are a little bit more pervasive in your area of life, your coworkers, your classmates, your family members and neighbors, what your kids are starting to believe and ask? Those are the ones you do have a responsibility by God to know and speak the biblical worldview into. And you will be able to have meaningful comparisons, reason evaluation, and missional conversations between them. And listen, this challenge is greater than ever. But we shouldn't be discouraged, because the opportunities and resources available to us is greater now than it ever has been. In fact, even in the last half century or so, there has been a remarkable resurgence in Christian philosophy and apologetics, much of which is focused on developing and defending the biblical worldview. And remember, church, whatever God calls his people to do, he equips them to do it. He doesn't just leave us out there. The problem is not that the church is under-equipped, but that she has yet to make full use of what Christ has provided for her. And listen, church, as we end, in the midst of all this, we do know we're going to constantly come to this conclusion. We're going to see a lot of error. We're going to see a lot of danger. We're going to see a lot of heartbreak. We're going to see a lot of sin and messiness, a lot of deception, hurt, and pain. But remember, the answer to that question about the fall, what went wrong, is found in verse 4. Jesus has overcome. Verse 4, little children, you're from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. One chapter later, we'll hit this in a few weeks, verse 4 of chapter 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. It is our faith. What is our faith in? Look at Revelation 12, 11 on the screen behind me. And they overcame him, our faith, because of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ dying for you, and because of the word of their testimony, you sharing your new life and this view with others. But they didn't even love their life, even when faced with death. That's our worldview. This life is nothing because of what Christ has done and given to us. And he is all in all. He is the purpose. He is our reason. He is the truth. And in the midst of that, he walks with us every step of the way. If you're a Christian, listen. You have a worldview that doesn't just leave you with the right answers for this messed up world. But you have a worldview that says this messed up world has been overcome. Christ has defeated the grave. And everything that the grave represents, death, sin, Satan, suffering, whatever trial and circumstance you are going through, and you view and live a life that is a part of that victory. Make the most of that worldview right now. It's why we can bring out our best when the world is at its worst. How do you view that world?